Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, eh?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. A little more than 24 hours away from another Thursday game for the Bills. Bills at Patriots tomorrow night. Team has made the trip. Sal has too. How was it, Sal?
Very windy, very rocky flight.
Does that bother you?
Windy.
You're
in Buffalo,
a grizzled veteran.
Windy throughout New York State, windy here in New England. and wet. Very, very rainy. I like got really wet just walking basically down the steps of the plane to the bus to take us to the hotel. So hopefully and thankfully I think all of that is gonna be gone tomorrow because it is not very pleasant weather right now.
Are you a good flyer? By the way,
I am. What I don't like is I don't mind taking off. I'm not great at landing. I just kind of, you know, it's like one of the things I just kind of brace myself for. I'm fine at flying. I love flying. It's not a big deal for me. But the particular seat I had, I couldn't really see out the window. I was more in the middle, and that's not normal for me. So I kept finding myself looking to see when we were going to land because I don't like being surprised by the landing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's foggy. It's tough.
Yep.
Yep.
And the bumpy. I had a flight from New York to Boston once, so really short. But the entire thing was just like, you know, when you get like a rough patch on a flight, and you're like, man, I hope this doesn't last long. And thankfully, it often doesn't. This whole hour and 20 minutes, or hour, whatever it was, 40 minutes even, the whole thing was just like. Just bounced. It was the worst. Like, ruined my whole trip.
Oh,
like,
no.
I had a weekend in Boston, and I just never was right. I got off the plane. It was just a disaster.
You don't get to that cruising altitude that you need, right? You don't get to that 35,000 feet.
Right.
Bulldog and I have had these conversations many times off the air because I'm not a great flyer either. I'm actually better when I'm up there. It's sort of the anticipation of it that can mess with me. But when I flew, I can't believe, really, that this actually happened, but when we went to Hawaii last year, the flight back was Maui to Dallas overnight. And it was like, what is that? 7.5 hours, I think it was. And we left at like 9 at night, Sal. So the whole thing, you know, it's a red eye. The whole thing's overnight. And everybody's asleep, right? Like, they turn all the lights off for a flight like that. 7.5 hours all through the night. And I never fall asleep. I mean, when I was younger, I could, but I never fall asleep on planes. As I'm just sitting there, and I was just drawing all this power from, like, I'm doing this. Which, of course, it stimulated me. Like, I'm less chance of relaxing now. That's the dilemma for me, is to try to sort of take power from it and get into it, get excited, or just try to relax, and I can't ever find that balance. So then, I always want the maps, right? So I've got the map in front of me, the screen in front of me. When we get to the U.S. mainland, it's like halfway through the flight or a little more. And so that flight goes over Mexico, and it's so mountainous. And then here comes the turbulence, right? It's like, whatever, three in the morning, everybody's out, and the flight starts to just sort of bounce around a little bit. I'm like, bring it on. And that was the entire rest of the trip. It never calmed down after that. It was like 3 hours of just like, and I don't sweat like that, but I was just like, come on. And everybody else is just out. That's a memory I'll long have.
I think that though may have just, maybe that just kind of alleviated you for the rest of your life flying. Like, that's it now. It's over.
I think that way, too. Yeah. Like, when I went to Vegas this year, and when I got sort of distracted, I'm like, come on, Maui. I mean, just what a, it's right. not even halfway. Right. Yep. So, yeah. All right. Well, you made it. The Bills made it. The game is getting closer here. No Deion Dawkins, the big one big development from today. What do you think? I think I probably asked you the same thing yesterday, but how do you see that, you know, affecting the game?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's a challenge not having your franchise left tackle available against the number two team in the league in sacks per pass attempt, which is what the Patriots are. They have a very good pass rush, but that's led by Matthew Judon, who has 13, leads the league even more than Micah Parsons. He's really good, but I do think in this situation, as compared to last week when Dawkins went out in the middle of the game, they've had a week to prepare for this. They've had a week to have a game plan for this. They've had full practices. That wasn't the case last week. So, you know, what we'll see is, my guess, you know, Questenberry playing on the left side like he did last week when he came in. But, you know, we'll see when that happens tomorrow. He has played the left side before. That'll keep Spencer Brown at right tackle. And obviously with Mitch Morse returning to the lineup, that'll help as well. They're not shuffling two or three different people, it's only one. And the Bills, like I said, had a game plan, had time to put in a game plan to try and help them out if they have to and do some different things that'll kind of, you know, mitigate that a little bit.
Do you think the Patriots will move Judon around? It'd be maybe nuts not to, right? Because Brown can be exploited too on the right side by speed. So, you know, that may be something to keep an eye on. Like, if the Bills have a plan to help Questenberry, like, you know, a way to foil that if you're New England, it's just move Judon all over the place.
Yeah, I think they do that anyway. I think they move him a little bit. That's part of the reason why I loved him. By the way, last year, free agency, I thought that was a guy that I would love. I really thought he'd fit well with the Bills and how they can kind of use different pieces. He, to me, seemed like, actually, I think I compared him to, like, Lorenzo Alexander in a way that, you know, the Bills could use him in their defense. And I think last year it was a good year for him. I don't think it was what they expected from him last year in New England necessarily with the numbers, but he's doing it this year. And I think that's a big reason why, you know, that they'll move him around a little bit here and there. And that could very well be, you know, what they try to do tomorrow against the Bills. So that's a challenge. He's a challenge, but, you know, the Bills will have their own plan, and whether that's getting rid of the ball quickly, you know, helping out, chipping, whatever it is, keeping Max Protect in, you know, they're going to have something they're going to have to do to make sure they slow him down.
Do you like
probably
a lot of
somethings, I would think, right? Probably a lot of somethings.
Yeah. Like, do you think there's a certain personnel formation or a certain angle that they should plan on, that you expect maybe them to lean on of their options there? Like, whether that's two tight ends or, I don't know, Reggie Gilliam, like, maybe that's overreacting to what this looks like. Or do you have to see the game sort of take shape first?
I'd rather go the other way. I'd rather spread them out. I think the Bills have, you know, an offense that they've consistently shown the last three times they played New England, really, maybe four times, that they have more athletes. They have more speed. And I don't think, you know, they aren't the fastest team on offense, but I think that they've shown that if you can spread out this New England Patriots team, you can have a lot of options. That includes Josh Allen running. The Patriots have not done well with mobile quarterbacks. You spread out and you have more running lanes, that'll give Josh Allen, he can identify Matthew Judon. You know, it's, hey, if you don't block him, I know he's coming and where he's coming from, and either I have an option, I can run, I can do things like that. I don't think the Bills should play the game of reacting to and trying to reduce their offense down. I think that they should spread it out and try and let their guys win one-on-one, because I think they can do that against this team.
Works for
me. I know it sounds kind of insane, but, like, I wonder – and usually this stuff, maybe most often this stuff is just busted plays, but let Josh handle Judon. Like, he's gonna come. Let him run away from him,
100%.
Right? Like, juke him and run away, and then, you know, go find Gabe Davis.
Well, I guess it's kind of like a 2-on-1 in hockey, right, Bulldog, where you have passer and the goalie has shooter, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
is that right. The other way around? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
let him handle it. You're right. I'll take the guy, right? I know where he's coming from. It's the same thing on a blitz. It's what a hot read is. If the quarterback sees a guy blitzing, that's his guy. He says, all right, I'm just going to replace you. You know, I'm going to throw it right there where you came from. He sees him coming. He can do that. I had some numbers I went through today. I went through and looked back because I know that the Patriots have struggled with some mobile quarterbacks, and they really have. If you go back to week 13 last year when the Bills came here to New England, and that was the day after Christmas, they last year, counting that game and then in the playoffs with Allen, since then, Allen 39 yards, Allen 64, Tua 38, Allen 66 in the playoffs, Lamar this year 107, Fields this year, 82. Even Sam Ellinger, 839, and Zach Wilson, 26. I added it all up. It's over like 430 yards of offense rushing from quarterbacks in just those like seven contests, basically. So they've had some problems there, and I think the Bills need to take advantage of that, and that's one way to do it, which is, hey, you want to come after me? I'm going to have my athletic quarterback just beat you and then see who's home.
By the way, let's spend a little bit more on this. So we've seen firsthand what the value of a quarterback who can run, I mean, like Allen is a force, what that value is, what Lamar Jackson means, what Jalen Hurts means, what Justin Fields might mean in this league. You've got college guys now. Like, that's what I'm looking for. You know, if I hear about some Caleb Williams, USC, like when I hear a name of a college guy, like, you got to see this. I know he can move. I know he's going to remind me of one of those. Mahomes, too. Like, he's going to remind me of one of those guys. Do you see that continuing as, like, the league, and we get to a point where, like, everybody is just going to need their quarterback to be able to run, or like much else about football where that sort of turns around and maybe somehow, I don't know right now why this would happen, but that it would be an advantage to have a guy play from the pocket?
It's a great question, Mike. You know me, I think football is cyclical, but I do think we're in an era now where, you know, you really have to have, you know, an athlete that can move around. I don't think you have to have a Josh Allen necessarily or a Justin Fields. I think you have to have somebody that can move around. Now, that said, I don't think like Tua is necessarily a bad he can't run at all. I think he can move a little bit. But if you can have receivers like that and you can just find ways to get it to those guys, that can help a lot as well. I do think that, you know, winning strictly from the pocket and just standing there as a statue is tougher to do. There's so many athletes on the other side of the ball. There's guys getting after the passer so much. But I think that that's what everybody's searching for. But here's the other thing. I think that's what we've created. You're going to see this coming up, as you just alluded to. High school quarterbacks are like this. You don't see many. Even 10, 15 years ago, you'd see so many more of these pocket passers in high school. It's all about athletes now. The high schools that want athletes. The colleges want athletes. Caleb Williams, actually, he actually does remind me of Patrick Mahomes and his mannerisms and the way he runs around. And I think he is clearly the number one pick in 2024. Like, teams are going to be tanking for him next year, maybe. Like, that's how good he could be. He reminds me of Mahomes when he runs. He's off structure in some of the things that he does. And Mahomes isn't Allen either, but he's a super good athlete. I think that's kind of what you need. You got to have a guy that at least can move around and use 53 and a third yard sideline to sideline to do different things.
I feel like a page has been turned, not just by analysts and analytics, but within teams too, and impacted by them hiring, people that focus on that part of the game. I think the threat of the injury, like the guy, you know, the ticking time bomb that the running quarterback idea in theory has been to a lot of old school football people. Like, the old school football people are either learning that they were wrong about that, or they're dying off. And you just got more and more people coming into the game that cut their teeth in high school and college, and that's the way the game is being played, and, like, that's it. Like, we're there. Now, I don't know, something unforeseen that at least to me, that I don't see coming could change it, but I don't think there's any going back.
I agree, because of the rules and what they've really started to do at the grassroots level, with the way the game is officiated, the way the game is played, and the physical nature of it. It just seems like now is, you know, it's more about having athletes running around, not as much hitting, not as much physicality. In a lot of ways, that's great. In a lot of ways, people don't like it. You know, there's no doubt about that. I'm glad you said that, though, because I think it needs to be said, because there are still a lot of people hanging on to that. And I do think that there's more and more people coming into the game that do see it that way and say, like, we just can't win like that anymore. It's just not the way it is. But there's also not as many guys to get like that anymore, to be quite honest with you. Like, everywhere you turn, you know, these quarterbacks that are coming out, first, second round picks, like, even the ones that are, you know, less mobile, they're still able to move. It's funny. It's not just that. I think about what Brandon Bean said of, it wasn't Brandon Bean, I'm sorry, it was Matthew Smiley, the Bills special teams coach. When we asked him about the holder and punters being holders, and he said, this is way back when the whole, you know, punting thing was going on, and even before, like, the Matariza situation, it was just during camp, I think. But he made a point to say, even punters now are, like, really good athletes, right? And they can even be better athletes than the quarterbacks. And You know, having someone who can do all that stuff, like be a holder, be a punter. I just think we're seeing that around the board now. We're seeing all these different guys who can do so much and be such good athletes on both sides of the ball.
Data has a lot to do with it. I mean, how many times have you heard, oh, you don't want them to get hurt? And I think the yes. world kind of settled for that until more and more data just showed you, no, you don't have to worry about that. I mean, the risk of injury is actually no greater. Like, without that, it would be, we remember how it used to be, like, it would be a tougher sell. The best part about it, I think we'd all say this, is how much more fun the sport is to watch with these guys, you know, like Allen and Mahomes and Jackson, Hurts too. Like, these guys, Fields taking off is just like that moment. This is what happened with Jackson with me and Fields for me. Like, that moment when that guy starts to go is just like, I'm breathless. you don't know what's before them. You don't know what they're seeing upfield. Is there going to be a safety right there? Is it wide open? Like, what is about to happen? Like, you know, when a running back gets going, a great running back. I just think it's so much fun this way.
Well, and real quick, I'm glad I actually kind of glossed over that point that you made, Bulldog, and what you just talked about, Mike, a little while ago with the injury part. Because, yeah, there are a lot of people who still say, well, if he runs, he's going to get hurt. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't hear people saying that about Lamar Jackson that much, right? You say it about Josh Allen, you know how well he can throw, but, like, that's not true. You're right, Mike. The data has shown more quarterbacks get hurt in the pocket. Heck, Josh Allen got hurt in the pocket this year. He did not get hurt running. And when it happens, of course, if someone gets hurt running, here comes the crowd of, see, that's what happens with a running quarterback. But the fact is, most quarterback injuries now are occurring in the pocket and not from people running.
Von Miller being out talking about his hoping to be back by the Jet game, Sal, where are you at on that, and also how he's talking about Odell Beckham and where that stands?
Well, let's start with the injury. I just think Von, by nature, always is. We know this. He's very optimistic. He's a very positive thinker. He actually likes to kind of speak things into existence, if you will. And that's what, just the way he is. He's talked about how he's very big on visualization and having things kind of come to fruition the way he sees them, which is great, and he's optimistic. I think that, you know, he knows his own body, of course, better than anybody else. For him to say that, you know, it's not the worst news, it's not a torn ACL, I'm hoping to be back and by the Jets game, that's great. He also didn't necessarily guarantee it. I think he left the door open for, hey, we'll see how this goes, right? If you really listen to him, it's, you know, this is what he's planning on and hoping for, but there's no guarantees there. You know, we don't know what's going to happen when he puts on a brace and how he looks, or when he goes out there and he tries to cut off the knee, and you hope everything's going to go all right. But it is obviously really much more encouraging news than I think what a lot of us thought it would be when we saw him riding off on the card and then subsequently, you know, after the game on Thursday. As far as, and the Bills, as of today, they haven't put him on IR, by the way. They could do it by tomorrow. They do have until 4 p.m. tomorrow to make moves for tomorrow's game, by the way. And if the Bills felt he was going to be out longer than four games, they could do that. That hasn't happened yet, obviously. As far as Odell is concerned, look, I mean, this goes back till training camp when he was talking about Odell and the Rams game. Is that the Rams and Bills against each other for Odell? And now we just had the same thing with the Giants and Cowboys, right? So that's how long it's been going on. And he said something during the whole, you know, process of this Voncast and the Twitch stream about how everything, he said, yep, I'm coming back, and everything we've planned for is still in front of us. So it tells me that this has been something that's truly been going on between him and Odell Beckham for quite a while. And as you guys know, I reported today, the Bills did create a lot. The Bills did create $2.5 million in salary cap space, or at least that's what they have now for the rest of the year, by restructuring Tre'Davious White's contract. Now, from my understanding, this was going to happen no matter what, and it makes sense. The Bills were down to literally the lowest amount in the league at $332K. That's not enough to get through the season. If they had another injury, another guy has to get signed, like, they just can't do it. So they had to create some room somewhere. However, it also doesn't rule them out of Odell Beckham, because now they actually do have some room if they want to try and sign him.
Right. It's been, to me, like, as this has unfolded and we've gotten, you know, more reporting on it over the course of the season, I'm talking about, not necessarily recently, like, I've gotten less optimistic about him coming here because of the potential for somebody, Dallas is who I would think of most, to give him more term, more money than like, I expect the Bills to be willing to give him, and even that I'd be myself be willing to give him. Not that I have anything to say about it. So we'll see how that all goes. I mean, it's encouraging that he's coming here, you know, and hopefully they can figure something out that makes sense.
Yeah, and I also think the owner comes into play here, Jerry Jones in Dallas, who has been, you know, kind of pounding the table for it. He wants him, and he can envision him wearing the star and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know how much he wants him, and, you know, Jerry Jones is going to be aggressive to try and get him. I think it obviously comes down to what Odell wants financially. I think what he wants and might be looking for as far as his role is concerned. There's probably a lot of things at play here. There was some reporting going on that Odell doesn't just want to make it a stopover. He wants to stay right wherever he's going for a couple of years. And if that's the case, then I think that would help the Bills a little bit, because I think the Bills could at least find a way to structure a deal, give a couple void years or something, move some money around to say, look, we'll bring in here, we'll figure it out, we can give you a whatever deal. And maybe Dallas can do that too. Maybe the Giants could do that too. But I do think, agree with you, that it is still encouraging that he's coming here if you want him here. And it seems like it's down to three teams, and it seems like the Bills have always been in this mix. Ed Werder actually reported last week that even though he was going to visit the Giants and Cowboys and had talked with these other teams, he made it clear, like, don't discount the Buffalo Bills.
No, that's words to live by. Thank you, Sal. We will talk at least once tomorrow, I'm sure.
All right, guys. You too. Thanks.
All right. Sal Capaccio on our Wester Hotline, live from, did we find out where exactly he
New
is?
England.
New England. Okay. It brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
He could be in Ashland, Massachusetts.
Could be.
I like just not knowing. I like the uncertainty of it all, the mystery. 803-0550 for your calls. Sabres pregame at 6, Buffalo at Detroit. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.